Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Woolley right now standing by with the radio play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers. Dan Dickerson, kind of an unusual setup for both of us, Dan. You're in your home, I'm in mine, using a little FaceTime setup to talk things out. What a weird time this is right now in the country. How are you and your family dealing with everything?
We're good, thank you. My son's a senior at Michigan State, so he's basically moved back home because almost everybody's left campus by now. Or certainly the majority have. And my daughter's in grad school, Grand Valley, over in Grand Rapids, occupational therapy. And she hasn't moved home. She's kind of going back and forth, but I think she's going to pretty much move home by Sunday. There are still some things she had to do over there, but it looks like everything's going to be, you know, online, and she can't really get together with other students. So she'll be moving home. And, you know, my wife, Lorianne, teaches journalism, and she's doing it by Zoom right now with her kids, and it's not the best, but she's doing live lectures, and I think the kids really appreciate, you know, that they're getting a chance to see each other and see a live professor instead of a recorded lecture. And it's not ideal, but it's she had two classes yesterday, and they both went well, so everybody's doing well. We're trying to stay healthy and like everybody else.
You know, it's kind of cool, for as bad as this is, to see technology bring everybody together. I mean, as you just mentioned, I mean, using Zoom to teach a lecture, you and I being able to talk here via FaceTime and on the radio, and then you're just seeing, you know, jobs that you never thought maybe you could work from home, people are able to work from home.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And I thought somebody made a good point. You know, it's social distancing that's important, and it is very important, but it doesn't mean we're not going to be social.
Right.
And thank goodness we do have ways of seeing each other face to face, even though it's not ideal. It's still, there's still great value in that. My daughter especially likes to FaceTime, and you know, it is good to see people's faces when you're talking to them. So there at least is that, because we are a social people, and this is hard on everybody.
You know, it's funny you say that, to see people's face, and you and I can see each other right now, and I'm actually growing a quarantine beard. I'm just like, you know what? If there's a time to grow a beard, it's right now. I'm looking at you, though. You look clean shaved and nothing different.
You know, I don't know how long my hair is going to get. my son's always wanted me to grow a beard. I've tried it, but I thought, well, no one's going to be seeing me for a long time, so maybe I'll let it go.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. Now, of course, you work in radio, again, the play-by-plays for the Detroit Tigers, the 97.1 The Ticket, and you're typically always heard but not seen, and you are the voice of summer. And unfortunately, later today, meaning, you know, tomorrow for opening day, it would have been the Tigers opening day game, and you would have been, you know, getting ready for it, preparing for it. So kind of walk us through what you've been dealing with as your spring training was cut short. When did you come home, and how did you adjust?
You know, it's funny because it's really those last, I don't know, 10 days of spring training. There's so much, you know, for me, spring training is all about information gathering, whether it's conversations or interviews or reading all the good writing that's out there from our beat reporters and national writers. And it's just information gathering, putting it into place. And then I've got my little projects to do for, you know, each team. I do a little team template, and the Tigers, I do the little bios. And I mean, it was cram time. I mean, it was just like, okay, I've got backing it up 10 days. All right, I've got time to do this, but it's going to be, you know, a lot of work. It's all fun. And then all of a sudden it's like stopped. And it was just so bizarre. It's just, and the weird thing was, we had a broadcast on Tuesday the 10th, and you were starting to hear some rumblings that, well, and you're thinking, well, geez. I mean, just to give you a feel for how quick this went, I mean, everybody knows this, but you went from, well, crowds might really be down this year at the ballpark, to the next day, that night, that Wednesday night is when the NBA suspended play, and then you woke up Thursday. We had another broadcast Thursday, and I was thinking, boy, this is – it still wasn't clear that we were about to shut down the season. And then as the day went on, obviously it happened. But you're still thinking, okay, you know, Seattle's now not going to have any home games in April, but they can't go anywhere else.
Right.
And then you realize this is all coming to a halt. And it was really – really strange doing a broadcast as, you know, the season's being shut down. You know, the story was developing while we were on the air. The game was not just secondary, but it was I'm not even sure I did any play-by-play that day of the game. So, yeah, it was very strange. And then I had plans to come home Sunday and stay until Thursday, and then I was going to go back and fly out with the team on Tuesday. And obviously just came home Sunday, got an earlier flight than I would have, and have been home since. And you know, you're just trying to figure out things that you can do for others who are in need right now, and then it's hard, you
right.
know. It's hard to, you know, trying to volunteer for Meals on Wheels with some food shelter or some food banks. You know, need help, but you know, going into a not crowded but a situation where you're around a lot of people all day long is less than ideal for someone over 60. So I don't know. Really trying to balance that, but just trying to think of ways to help people who are truly, truly in need right now.
Well, let's kind of circle back to now that you're home. And again, I mean, you would typically be getting ready for the season. What are some things that maybe you've done since you've been home, or has there been a honey-do list that was given to you, knowing that, you know, typically you'd be getting ready for the season, or even on long road trips once the season started?
Right. No, I think, you know, we're just, like a lot of people, probably just looking at the house and saying, okay, what would you like painted? decluttered the basement in the off-season. That was a big project. yeah, just, you know, helping the kids any way you can. Help my son move home. And I have volunteered a few days at local food banks, but now I think I'm just going to limit it to some driving that I might be able to do for Meals on Wheels. And it's funny, the days go, but every day you wake up, and I'm sure you feel the same way, and you're a little busier than I am, but it's just like, man, it just still doesn't feel real.
No.
That you're waking up and you can't get together with friends, and you can't be with people, and you can't do your job. All these things for so many people, and, you know, there's nothing better than opening day. There's
right.
no place I'd rather be than in Cleveland tomorrow, but... obviously, now the question is whether they can play baseball at all this year.
Well, I'll even take it a step further. I mentioned to you before we started, I had hernia surgery back on March 9th. I feel like maybe I'm still under anesthesia, and this is all a dream. Like, you know, I woke up, and I was off the entire week. The sports world is starting to shut down, and here I come back, and then, I mean, everything's done.
Right.
So it feels, you know, totally surreal. But you mentioned opening day, and I wanted to bring it up because this was going to be the earliest opening day in MLB history. You're talking March 26th. There was still some time for it to be pushed back. Obviously, we don't know if or when the season will start, and there's been a lot of rumblings and stuff. In your estimation, what do you think? Should we maybe eye towards July and they play half a season with the playoffs in October? Or I saw Scott Boras come out today and suggest still try to play as close to as 162 games as possible with two doubleheaders a week and push the World Series back into December.
Well, the fact that he's saying that is interesting. That means maybe the negotiations aren't going well with the owners about service time, which is going to be a big, big issue, obviously. But I'm not going to get into that. But here's my thought. I've heard that doubleheader idea a lot. You can't make up lost games with a whole bunch of doubleheaders. You'll kill the players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just will. They added 4 days to the season, 4 off days to the season, a couple of years ago. That's why we're starting so early, because they needed to build in more off days for players. When you play 162, you need off days. To try to cram 162 into 150 days or something would be crazy. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think you have to just, let's face it. I mean, the biggest challenge is going to be, when do we as a society allow large gatherings again of 200, 20,000, 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why I just think it's so important we're doing what we're doing. There's everything I've read, and I read a lot. Social distancing is the only way, strict social distancing. shelter in place is the only way. With testing, we're going to get to a point where we can maybe allow people to gather again, especially if we can test and isolate and quarantine once we do this. But for our healthcare workers, and you certainly know this, healthcare workers, this is what it's all about, making sure that we're keeping them well and not overburdening our healthcare system. I mean, that's what it's all about right now. And then maybe there's a time this summer, maybe they'll be playing in empty ballparks. I mean, who knows?
Right.
I think you really, I'm sure they are thinking of that, because I honestly don't see at this point when gatherings of 20,000 or 30,000 will be allowed again. I just, that's not on the near horizon, that's for sure.
It's you mentioned the healthcare workers, and I found it quite ironic. You know, Tom Brady's news broke earlier this week about, you know, or maybe late last week about the signing, you know, $50 million guaranteed. And it just felt empty, you know, reporting on that news when so many people around the country are losing their jobs or worried about paying their rent. And it's just, it kind of puts into perspective, you know, the sports world and then the real world. And I think what you're saying is perfect. You know, getting together with, you know, 20 or 30,000, you know, people that you may know, you don't know all of them, but you, for a Tigers game on a summer day, it's fantastic. And I think for as bad as a team could be, not just seeing the Tigers, but anybody across sports, people are going to long for that now moving forward. And tomorrow, I think it's going to feel even more hollow with it being opening day and there's no baseball on. So what kind of message would you give to Tiger fans, or what would you suggest they do? I mean, maybe go outside and play some catch, or what would you tell Tiger fans to do to fill that void?
That's not a bad way to do it. It's going to be 50 again tomorrow. I think it's 50 and sunny right now here in Clarkston. So, John Nio wrote a nice piece the other day for the Detroit News about just going out and playing with his kids. No organized sports, but just going out and hitting some ground balls at a local dirt field, you know. And I just thought, we can still do that.
Yep.
You know, go outside with your kids and throw a ball around, or let them hit, you know, hit some fungos to them, whatever. Shoot a basket. Just, I think that's probably the best thing we could all do.
All right, and Dan, just a quick follow-up. With you being a play-by-play announcer, obviously a lot of prep work goes in. You were talking about, you know, cramming everything in towards the end of spring training, getting ready for the year. If and when Major League Baseball makes the announcement, whenever that may be, what do you think that will do to your workload? Like, take us just through what you might do to prepare for either a shortened season or, you know, going into a season that's going to be delayed 4 or 5 months.
I think the biggest thing was, and I'm still kind of doing this because, again, just spreading it out now, but I want to be very clear about, you know, where they were when we stopped, what were some of the things that still had to be decided, where was the roster? There were still 54 players in camp. Just impressions I had of the players in camp, and even if those guys started Toledo, just while it's fresh in my mind, what kind of impression did they make? What kind of things did they still have to work on? So be very clear on where we were, what still had to be decided, what the final roster makeup was probably going to look like. And then, so that's on the Tiger side of things. And then really this allows me to probably just spend a little more time doing my player bios and my fact sheets that I like to do for various, all those teams in the Central, at least. And then you realize, you know, there's so much good writing out there, but a lot of people are just thinking out loud and looking for input on, hey, what might a shortened season look like at 105, 90, 81, a half a season? What if we're down to 70 games? You're going to have to get creative. You're probably going to have to redo the schedule, or maybe you just pick it up where it was. But I've always said that, you know, if we pick it up June 1st, we'll have lost 13 games to the Indians and we haven't played the White Sox once.
Right.
So is that really a fair way to determine the division?
Yeah.
Or do they have to tweak it? But when you start tweaking it, think about tweaking a schedule and say, well, we'll just swap one of those White Sox series out for a series with the Indians. It's not that easy. That affects four teams now. So I think that's going to be a challenge. But there are a lot of good ideas about, hey, if we're down to 60 or 70 games, is, you know, maybe you have an expanded playoffs, you have extra teams making the playoffs, you have more of a round-robin format. I think everything has to be on the table. And I think if you know, the idea being that any baseball is better than no baseball, I think it'd be really tough for the industry to lose an entire season. So if you have to play in front of empty ballparks, you do, because the value in not losing a season is huge. You will lose minor leaguers to, they're just going to leave the profession, right?
Right.
Because they have to find a job. So all these things, I think, make it I think we'll have some kind of a season, but it's going to be, I mean, everybody has to be creative. Everybody has to be flexible. Do not use doubleheaders to make up games. It's just not, you'll just crush the players, even if it's a 70-game season. You can't do that. A doubleheader followed by a day game takes a toll. But I just think it'll be interesting. I think we'll see some things that might be really exciting. It'll be like a sprint to the finish line.
I was just going to bring it up because you said 70 games. Do you think a 70-game season could benefit a team like Detroit who's in a rebuild?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And think about, you know, Mize, Manning, and Scoobal were all in camp at the time play was suspended. My thought was that somebody of those three, and right now I've got them as 1, 1A, and 1B. I mean, they're all right there. Right?
Okay.
But let's take the college guys, Scoobal and Mize. One of those guys, I thought maybe Mize would push his way to the major leagues by, I don't know, late May, the way things were going, and Scoobal maybe by June or July. Well, if the season starts in June or July, those guys might just get a few starts down at AAA and then just burst onto the scene by August for a stretch run, and suddenly you've got two really promising guys with ace-level stuff joining a rotation that was beginning to look pretty good, I have to say, with Boyd and Turnbull, the way they were pitching. That could make it a pretty thrilling 60, 70 games down the stretch if they start off gangbusters at Toledo, because you will not have to worry about an innings limit for those guys this year.
Right.
You won't have to worry about, you know, when to bring them up, really. If they pitch well to start and we're in August, bring them up. And you've got 50, 60 games out of an 80-game schedule with two future aces. And it could make for some really exciting baseball in Detroit.
All right. Well, Dan, great stuff as always. I appreciate the time. I know it's weird circumstances for everybody, but, you know, just to get an inside look, you know, from your profession. I mean, fans want to hear from you. You're, like I said, you're the voice of summer. So to hear you on opening day, even though we won't hear baseball, it's going to be nice to hear from you.
All right. Appreciate it, Ryan. Always good talking with you.
All right. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right. You too.